blessing. Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us begin this morning worship service, the singing of Psalter 221, the stanzas 1 and 3. Great shepherd who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwellings shine thou from above, in might come and save us, thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. From Psalter 221, stanzas 1 and 3. The scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the prophecies of Isaiah chapter 32. Let us first read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered on Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We now read from Isaiah 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rest shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the cruel said to be bountiful. For the vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instrument also of the cruel are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled, ye careless ones. Strip ye, and make ye bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. They shall lament for the tithe, for pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy, in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken, and the multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon them us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be counted for a forest. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness, and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings, and in quiet resting places, when it shall hail coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. That's for the reading of God's word. Let us ask a blessing upon our gathering. Almighty and eternal Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, it is in the afternoon hour of this day that we may come together within the walls of this thy house of prayer. A morning service has taken place, and thou hast brought us back again in thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, could it have been that we came up with a praying heart? If thou wilt give opening in thy words, but also opening in prayer to lay all the cares and all the needs before thee in prayer. The needs are many, and Lord, thou knowest how it is in the heart. Then there are temporal needs, and they are also many. When we think of the sick and the afflicted ones, when we think of those who mourn, who have grief and an empty place in their life, when we think also of that little child in the hospital, Lord, then we must say there are many temporal needs, and they are all known unto thee, because nothing is hidden before thee. And thou hast said it in thy words, that with all these needs, with all these cares, that we must bring them before thee. O Lord, that we may lay it before thee, wilt thou then watch over the congregation, and wilt thou watch over each one of us so personally, also those who cannot come up to thy house of prayer, and thou knowest the reasons. Thou knowest also those who may listen along by the way of the means. And Lord, when having come, being in an old age and not being able to go up to thy house of prayer anymore, or being sick or weak, Lord, wilt thou then give a blessing at home, or wherever we may listen, and wilt thou make it well for each one of us. And Lord, then there are many temporal needs, but the greatest need what we have is not a temporal need. However we so often look upon them, when we are sick or afflicted, then we think that is the greatest need we have, but the greatest need is that we have a soul created for a never-ending eternity, and soon we have to appear before thee. And as we are born, we cannot appear before thee. And may that need now be bound upon our hearts, that we may feel that need, and that it may drive us out unto thee. Otherwise, we can be so busy, so many things, can be busy with all the temporal needs, with all the cares which come to us, with the cares in the homes, the cares in our community, the cares in whatever it may be, but that one thing needful, we so easily forget it. But Lord, bind it upon the heart, and wilt thou give thou no rest where we cannot rest. And wilt thou open then our blind soul's eyes, and that we may see the wretched state in which we are. Lord, wilt thou then work by thy Spirit also among our people in the community and here in the midst of the congregation. Lord, wilt thou then bless thy word with eternal blessings. O thy word may be preached and read so from week to week, and wilt thou bless then thy words, and remember then thy servant whom thou hast placed here in this place, and may he receive the opening in thy word, lay the needs of the congregation before thee, and go before them, and to lead the flock in the green pastures of thy word, strengthen and uphold him for body and soul, and wilt thou then remember in mercy. Lord, thou knowest how we have come up to thy house of prayer. If there also have been a cry in our soul, if thou wilt speak to our soul, thou as a people upon earth, when they come up to thy house of prayer, or they know they cannot bring thy words into their own hearts, or they cannot open their hearts before thee of themselves, then they must say, that door needs to be opened by thee, as it was also with Lydia, who attended to the words which Paul spoke, and whose heart the Spirit has opened for thy words. And now we ask thee, Lord, may that then take place in this afternoon. Perhaps a needy and a poor people in themselves who does not dare to say that thy word is for them, but that they may hear thy voice, or that thou wilt speak, and will give them a moment of rest in thy house of prayer, and wilt thou then lead them. Remember also thy people, or thou knowest also what they stand in need of, or when they have heard thy voice, then thy voice is not strange to them, or when they know of thy dealings with them, or when they have been led also in those secrets of salvation, but can become so closed again, or wilt thou then open that heart by renewal, or then there's a people who waits for it for the first time and by renewal. Lord, wilt thou make it well done, and that thy Spirit also may be poured out upon them, and so we may lay the whole congregation before thee. May there be a word for each and every one. Lord, wilt thou then give, if we travel upon a false ground, if we have taken something whatever we have not received, that our eyes also be opened for it, because it is also the task of thy servants to separate the precious from the vile. And Lord, may thy word then have that power also in this afternoon. Open them the eyes before it is too late, and will so be a God ever near unto us. Lord, remember so all the cares, all the needs, that we may lay also before thee the needs which there is also in our community, also at our school, that we may lay before thee our school board, the teachers, the students. We have come almost to the close of another year. And Lord, wilt thou then remember our school and give what is needed to each and every one in the school. Wilt thou remember also our nation, the nation of Canada. Wilt thou work mightily among us. Thou knowest also the direction our government goes, also our president, our prime minister, and all those who are in government. Lord, wilt thou remember them and give to them what they stand in need of, but also here in the province of Alberta, and also here locally. Lord, give them that may have also an impression that an account must be given before thee of all our deeds, also now how we have ruled in the nation. Lord, wilt thou then remember in mercy and give in return to the God of our fathers. Will thou remember also a world in need when we see many places where is war, where is unrest, driven away from their homes? Think also of the Middle East. We think of what takes place in Asia, in Africa, in Ukraine. Lord, may we commend also this world in need unto thee. Will thou give them, when it is all we hear, that the voice of thy coming, the footsteps of thy coming, that it may give us an hastening for our life's sake to be hidden in thee. Lord, we also watch over thy church, over the length and breadth of the earth. Will thou give help and strength to thy servants? Remember those who are on the mission field. Think also of him, of his family, who is sent out, also he from out of Fort MacLeod. Strengthen and uphold him together with his loved ones, and we also be in ever God ever near unto him, and that the labors of his hands may be blessed also in Bolivia. Lord, remember thy people of the Jews, and we also work so among them, that a veil may be taken away, and we also work also among our own people, our denomination. Also in the weeks past, thou hast given that one of the students also may go out and speak in edifying words in the different congregations in our denomination. And that we may commend him unto thee. Will thou give help and strength and courage, and that he may receive opening in thy words, and that we may carry his needs before thee. Lord, will thou send forth more laborers into the vineyard, and when soon also one of thy servants hopes to be installed in a neighboring congregation, that we may also lay him before thee, the many changes which will come for him. And Lord, that is not an easy way, but if it is thy way, then thou can make it easy for him. And now we beseech thee, Lord, help him then, strengthen him, and make him a blessing among us. Lord, we have asked thee much, and we have nothing to plead upon of ourselves. If thou shouldest mark our iniquity, who can stand before thee? But the psalmist knew that by thee there is forgiveness. And therefore, to whom else must we go with all our cares, with all our needs, that we may find a place at thy footstool? Remember so in this afternoon, help thy servant, give him the opening in thy word, that he may do these labors with the love of his heart. May there be Aaron's and hers in the congregation. Above all, may thy spirit lead him into the truth of his word, of thy word, and what thy servant cannot miss in listening, we cannot miss that either. It is that same spirit what must lead us. Withhold it not from us, but have mercy upon us and upon our children, and visit us with thy salvation. We ask it. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. We'll continue with the singing of Psalter 143, the stanzas 1 through 4. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all mine iniquity. O wash me wholly from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgression I confess, I ever see my sin. From Psalter 143, the four stanzas, and in the meantime your offerings will be received. Dear congregation, we read in Isaiah 35, first verse, the wilderness and a solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. Therein we see the prophecy what the Lord will do. The wilderness, a solitary place, what is that? We say it's a place, nothing grows there. Nothing can be found there. You can plant a flower, you can plant vegetables, but it will not grow because there is no water. There's nothing what makes them to grow. And what will the Lord do? He will water that place. He will make that it will be fruitful again. It is that rain what comes from above, what makes the earth fruitful. We have seen it also in the past weeks, congregation, when the rain has come down from heaven. And on the earth, which was so thirsty, then you see, when you come and you drove this way, and you see it, everything is green, everything is flourishing. It is that rain what makes it fruitful. And so it is also what is spoken of here in this text. Israel, what has been in captivity, you would say, after that long time of captivity, it seems it was just a desert. No fruits could be seen anymore. But the Lord will make fruitful again. They shall blossom. So it is also in the realm of grace. By nature, you and I, we are so unfruitful. No fruits can be found in our life. Why is that? Was it always that way? No, you say, that was not always. Because in paradise we were fruitful, but because of sin, that communion with God is broken, and we have become unfruitful. But now the church, though that was now what is now so, what's it, such a wilderness that will become fruitful again? And what is then that rain what falls upon them, what makes them fruitful? Children, what is it what makes the church fruitful? Do you have an answer to that? What makes the church fruitful is that rain, is that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And when that blood is applied to the church, then fruits will come forth, then fruits will be seen, and then the church shall flourish again. It is our blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified that make the church fruitful. As that rain was fruitful for a thirsty land, so the blood is also fruitful for a thirsty soul. And there are still thirsty souls here in Fort MacLeod. There are many, I know that. But do we also feel our need? Congregation, do we feel the need in which we are? Or that the Lord our eyes may open, that we may see that wretched state in which we are by nature, but that we also may learn to seek, to cry for that rain from above, that the Lord will send showers also upon the late generations, also in 2026, that the Lord may go forth, also gathering His church, also from among us. May the Lord do that. And in this afternoon, I would like to speak of that. And on the words of our text, you can find it in the portion that we have read together, Isaiah 32 and on verse 15, as our text. Isaiah 32 verse 15. until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. These words, they speak of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, with the help of the Lord, we would like to speak about 3 points. First, the time of the outpouring. Secondly, the significance of this outpouring. And then in the third place, the effect of this outpouring. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, first, the time of this outpouring. Now we read so in our text, until, some short words, but it has a rich meaning in it, until, that also points out the time of the outpouring. Secondly, the significance of this outpouring. Because what do we read in our text? It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. And then in the third place, the effect of the outpouring, where we read, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and a fruitful field be counted for a forest. And may then the Lord lead us into the truths of His word in speaking and in listening. Dear congregation, when Isaiah had spoken these words, most of the commentators, they think it was spoken in the time of Ahaz. King Ahaz, we all know him, was one of the most wicked kings which has reigned in Judah. And we know how wicked that reign was. It was a reign wherein much unrighteousness came forth. And when he then spoke in the time of Ahaz, then he pointed to that will come another time. When we read so in verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. Oh, now there is much unrighteousness in the nation, but it will come a different time when the next king, the son of Ahaz, King Hezekiah, will reign in Judah. We also know that King Hezekiah in his reign also was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we may also see in that this chapter, also in the beginning of this chapter, a point to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who will be that king. We know, children, you know that too, Christ had a threefold office. And what was that? First, prophet, he would be priest, and he would be king. And here he is set forth in his kingly office. Behold, the king shall reign in righteousness. And in that time, what will he be? Oh, that is also written, and a man, or we can also read the man, that man. So Christ himself, he shall be in hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as shadow of a great rock in a weary land. What will he be for that people? Or we know what a blessing has Hezekiah been for the people of Judah. Oh, when there was so much unrighteousness under Ahaz, it has so much changed under Hezekiah. But what will that be when a people truly may change, or may that blessed exchange of that king ruling, of being under Ahaz, that Satan, but then to become a subject of the King of Kings? And what will that king be for that people? It shall be a man, a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, rivers of waters in a dry place. And what does then the prophet say of that? He says, and the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Oh, they're not people. Oh, when they may see that king, if they may see, oh, their Lord Jesus Christ, ah, then the eyes are directed to him, and then they will behold, and they may behold that king. What a blessed place they may have to behold him. People of the Lord, do you not long for it? Do you not long that you say, ah, that I may see him again for the first time, or by renewal, that we may behold that king? In our thoughts we can see the disciples on Mount Olive, or when they are standing there, and when Christ, their king, was being taken away from them, ascended into heaven. And then we see the eyes gazing into heaven, and they were looking, and they were, they stared as it were into heaven. They were looking to their king. Oh, what a wonder that is, to look away from everything that is of self, to look away from all the evil what lives in us and around us, and that we may behold that king. Here in this chapter, so richly is spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. What an blessedness that was in the time of Hezekiah. But what a blessedness that is for the people looking away from self to their king. But now in our chapter, we read also of another time what will come, when it was speaking here about the king who would reign in righteousness. But when we then go through this chapter, and when we have read it together, perhaps you were thinking, what an awful time will Israel be in? What an awful time is it when it is spoken of the instruments of the cruel, of the wicked, what will devise wickedly, and who will have lying words? What an awful words also, what is spoken about, rise up ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear to my speech. Or then we read about more about curses than about blessedness in this chapter. So when we have our text, when it is spoken in our text, until the Spirit, so when it was spoken of these curses, what would come upon Israel and Judah, until there was a time, it was a hard time, and very evil time, what will come. And Isaiah also speaks of that time, what will come. Of what time is he speaking? Some say it was a time when Sennacherib came into the nation, when he came over Judah and Jerusalem, and when he tries to destroy everything what there was. Others say it was a time of those 70 years when Israel was in, and Judah was in captivity, also an awful time for them. And we can even go further, that time before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that we go to the New Testament time. What a time was that in Israel, would say, hardly anyone was found in whom the fear of the Lord was still be found. Or they were still there. The Lord will always have his people. That is true. But sometimes it can be so thin upon earth. And then you say, where are they? Can hardly find them anymore. Here it speaks also of such a time, what will be. So when we then have called our first point, the time of this outpouring, then it speaks also of the time what was before that. when it speaks also in these verses before our text, then it speaks of the careless women, also of those women who will tremble. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be ye troubled, ye careless one. Strip ye and make ye bare, and gird sackcloth upon your loins. What is now meant with that? What is now the prophet saying here? We also know that also in the older days, often a country or a city was compared with a woman, so it was in a feminist name, saying, you know, then was a city as a her was seen. So when we did spoken here about raise up ye women that are at ease, it points out to the cities in Judah. It points out to the different cities which there were. They were all careless. Those cities were just sitting there and they thought it will go well with us. We see here also a picture of our time. How careless are we, congregation? Let's not pass by our church doors either. We can go so easily on. And now the Lord says, we must not so be careless. We must watch, be on our watch. It will also be a sinful time. It will be an awful time. But the Lord will come back to that people. That is what Isaiah may prophesy to them. Until in this chapter we may also, and we must go back also to what has taken place in paradise. Because what has taken place in paradise, we have brought destruction upon ourselves. And we see that all around us. We see that in the whole world. Many places where there is war, where there is unrest, where there is, who are driven away from their homes. In that light, congregation, we may have so much still. There is still so much what we may have, what in other places is not to be found. And what makes us to differ them? Nothing. But we have lost God in paradise. And do we see that? Instead of being heavenly, we have become so earthly. And now we are, as it were, we crawl in the dirt like worms. I had to think of a piece of silver, the parable what the Lord Jesus has spoken in Luke 15. That woman had lost that piece of silver. You and I, we have become like that lost piece of silver. Man who was the crown jewel has now become a reprobate silver, corrupt, you and I. And now we have become so impotent and we cannot even return to the Lord from ourselves. We have lost everything. It's that wretched state, that total depravity wherein we have been fallen. What is then lost? What have you lost, congregation? We lost God. We have no righteousness, no knowledge, righteousness and holiness anymore. We have lost that. We read so in Jeremiah 4, verse 3, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know me not, saith the Lord. We lost that communion with God, and now we are running away from God. When the Lord came to Adam in paradise, then the voice was heard, where art thou? Adam was himself hiding from God. And we are fleeing away from him. So We are now under that wrath of God, the time of his outpouring, that we must say, where is that man? Man is lost. I said, man lost God, but God also lost man. You say, what do you mean with that, minister? It's not so difficult. God lost man, so does God not know where man is anymore? Certainly, God knows where you are. God knows us all. But what does the Lord receive from you and from me? Or by nature, we cannot give anything to God anymore. No love towards him. No, we do not serve him anymore. And we are going our own ways. So the Lord does not receive any glory from us. And then in the third place, man lost also himself. And what is that? Hellebrook says it so clearly in his question book, Children, you also know that. What is now that wretched state in which man is? That we do not even know our wretched state anymore. We do not even know the state in which we are fallen. You say, that's quite something. We are so far from God. And we do not even know how to return to God. That is now your state. And that is now my state by nature. And now still we read here. Until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. So that we come to that word, until. And then, if we then see that word, until, also in this light, what man has become. And we have seen that in the verses what precedes this text. How far we are away from God, until. And it speaks that about the love of God, until that speaks also of the grace of God, that until has it ever become a wonder to you, young and old. Because the Lord, righteously, he could have done away with us, so nothing to do with us anymore. But now he comes still to us with his word, until the Spirit be poured upon us and from on high, and the wilderness be fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest, that until, that speaks of the infinite love of God. He did not do with man what he righteously could have done, but he will still look upon that fallen mankind. Has now a wonder for the church, and has it ever become a wonder to you, dear congregation, until. We'll now go to our second point, where we will see the significance of this outpouring. What do we read in our text? Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field. So, until the Spirit be poured out. We go back to the history for a moment. I said, some say, it was the time of Sennacherib when he came into the country. What an evil time that was. Oh, he tried to destroy everything. And we say, what will be left of Judah? What will be left of Jerusalem? But what has the Lord done? Until Sennacherib could come so far, hitherto and no further, and there was a halt for him. And in one night, an angel was sent out, and 185,000 Assyrians were killed in that one night. Until. We can also see it in the history, wherein it seems Israel is lost there, in Babylon, in that captivity, and it seems never will return to Israel, to Judah anymore. But what had the Lord done? That spirit has been poured out, that spirit was given to Chorus, that king in that time, to let the people go. But that same spirit was also given to the people, that they would return to Israel again until that spirit was poured out. We can also go to the New Testament time. How dark was it in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was upon earth, sojourned here upon earth? What happened also to that day when the Spirit was poured out? That was a day wherein everything, as it were, turned around, wherein that word has gone forth with such a power, when it has gone forth also into the world, where it has come into Europe, where it has gone into Africa, where it has come also to North America. Also here in this place, that word of God has come until, but there's also a fruit of that working of the Holy Spirit. That word will go forth until what is now spoken of here. It speaks about that work of the Spirit until the Spirit. Who is meant here with the Spirit? Some say it is the Holy Spirit itself where it's referred to. So the Holy Spirit, children, who is that? The third person in the Trinity. When we speak of one God and three persons. One God, three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And here is spoken of the Holy Ghost. So the person of the Holy Ghost. And we know also in the Old Testament, the person of the Holy Ghost, he was known because they knew of his working, and we have sung of it. Of David, he sang, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." We see it in the creation, the Spirit of God upon the face of the waters. We also read of it in Psalm 33, where it says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and by the host of them, by the breath," so by the Spirit of his mouth. So speaking of the Holy Spirit. And now in our text we may see, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. May look also to the day of Pentecost, where that Spirit so richly was poured out upon the people. You may also see here the fruits of the Spirit. So the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, you may never separate them from one another. Without the Spirit, there will not be fruit of the Spirit. And where the Spirit works, there will also be seen fruits of the Spirit. So they always go together. And when we then may speak here in the text, until the Spirit be poured out. So the fruit of the Spirit, of the gift of the Spirit, can also say. And then we can read in Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord, God, is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." So there Christ speaks about that gift of the Spirit, what is laid upon him. So the Holy Spirit, or in the explanation of this text, the Spirit itself or the fruit of the Spirit does not contradict each other. And then in this afternoon, I would like to go more to the fruits of the Spirit, to the gift of the Spirit. And what will now be done with those gifts of the Spirit? It says so in our text, it will be poured out. What does it now mean? Children, when you have an pail of water and you say, "I need to be emptied," and you take the pail of water and you turn it upside down. You pour that water out. What does that mean? It goes with power. It goes with much strength out of it. So when it now speaks here, when that spirit is poured out, it points also to the strength with which it is poured out. And it also speaks about how abundantly it is done. Perhaps now you're sitting here in church and you say, but minister, is it not so that we also read in God's words, it is not by might, not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. So not by might, nor by power. And how can you then say it comes with might and it comes with power, the working of the Holy Spirit? It's not so difficult to explain that. When Zechariah says that, not by might, nor by power, what does he then refer to? Then he speaks about human power or human strength. No, that will not come with human strength. What does it mean? A minister cannot convert you, congregation. An elder cannot convert you. We cannot give you that spirit. Cannot come from man's side. But where does it now come from? It is that work of God himself. He himself, by his power, will work in the heart of a fallen child of Adam. And that's not so necessary for you, for me, so necessary for you, your children. When you look upon your little ones, you see them in your arms, you say, so innocent. But what is now so necessary? That spirit needs to be poured out upon it. When you see your older children, when you see even the oldest here in the congregation, what is necessary? That work of the Spirit in our hearts. How was it now also so richly poured out in the day of Pentecost? There we see how the Lord has worked in the hearts of many. 3,000 were pricked in the heart. What a blessing that was. What a blessed time that was. You'd say, one sermon and 3,000 converted. That spirit was poured out so richly and abundantly in that time. And so it will go forth also throughout the ages. Sometimes we say that flock of Christ, that is a little flock. And Christ himself said it, and throughout the ages we see it, as it were, a little flock, here a few, there a few, and still we may speak of that work of the Spirit poured out abundantly. At the end, it will be a multitude which we cannot count. Revelation 7 speaks of it when it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. There we see, the Lord will have his church, he will have them. And at the end, when that church will be complete, then he will come again on the clouds of heaven. And then he will have his church with him until that time. So the Lord will pour out that spirit, the day of Pentecost, and that goes still forth also today. However, the times are dark, and we know that, and we see that. We see the darkness of the time. But it does not stand the Lord in the way to work. Also to work in the hearts of your children, congregation. Not to work in the hearts of your grandchildren. The Lord is the Almighty God. And he can also do that. Oh, that there may still be much prayer, that the Lord would work also among us. We have not deserved it. We have not deserved the least of His blessings. But when the Lord comes, He brings everything along until He pours out, and we read that so in our text, from on high. So pouring out Spirit is often also compared with water. That's why I also began with that text from Isaiah 35, when the Lord will make that wilderness to blossom, or when the showers will come from above. Oh, may that shower also come here upon Fort McLeod. May that shower also come upon our community here in Southern Alberta, that the Lord would have done still much work to do for His servants. What a wonder that is also, that the Lord still has sent another servant to this community. Then may also say the Lord is not done yet with Southern Alberta, but there is still a remnant that also must be brought in. Oh, when the Lord comes and with that rain from above, it is also that rain what will penetrate to the depth. Oh, when that rain came also in the past weeks, when we see it, it has penetrated the ground. It has made the ground also that the water has absorbed it. Oh, may the Lord also do that so richly in our time, working among us. Oh, where does it come from? Where does that pouring out come from? We read in our text, it comes from on high. So it comes from heaven. As the rain came from heaven, so it is also the working of the Holy Spirit, what comes from on high. We cannot work it, congregation. Same as in the past weeks, we could not let it rain here. That is that work of the Lord. He has given it to us. So it is also that working of the Holy Spirit, or the working also in the midst of the congregation, or the Lord often uses His servants to that end, also to make a congregation fruitful, but a minister cannot convert. It has to come from on high, and therefore we must pray also, if the Lord will give that blessing from on high, that He will give also that rain in a spiritual way, in a realm of grace. When it comes from on high, we can also read there, it comes from the high God. It comes from the Lord Himself. So that we may bow before that high God, and that the Lord will give them that Spirit also among us in a rich measure, in the hour of regeneration, what takes place, congregation, or that is also coming from the work of that Spirit. It is the Spirit who is sent out in that hour of regeneration. Or then, as it were, Christ may say to His Father, Father, there is a boy, there is a girl, there is a man, there is a woman, there the hour has come, and it is the time of that hour of good pleasure, that conversion must take place. And what will take place then? Then that Spirit comes down, begins that work of grace in the heart, that is poured out in that heart of that sinner. That salvation, that is the work of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it is that Spirit who opens that heart of a sinner. And when that heart is opened, that begins to see, the Spirit begins to show who and what they are. Then they begin to see how unfruitful they are. Then they begin to see that they have no fruit to show to the Lord. Then they have to begin to see that also will come, never come forth fruit of their own field. Because they began to try, they began to work that salvation in their heart. What we read in Also in the Gospels and in the letters of Paul, when he says, work out thine own salvation with fear and trembling, but it is God who worketh in you both to do, to will and to do. It is his work in the heart of that sinner. And now when that word, that spirit begins to work, it's poured out. As it is said here, it is with that power of that spirit, or it is that power of that working, because that conversion, that is even a greater wonder than the creation of heaven and earth, or that recreation, that new creation, what on that spirit begins in the heart of that sinner. And so he begins, that sinner begins to bow before him, begins to seek him, begins to ask for him. But the Spirit also will lead him further, and he will make him fruitful. And we would like to see that in our third point, the effect of that, of the outpouring. But let us sing first from Psalter 416, the first stanza. As the heart about to falter in its trembling agony, panteth for the brooks of water, so my soul doth pant for thee. From Psalter 416, the first stanza. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the time of the outpouring, the significance of this outpouring, and the effect of the outpouring. The congregation, when we have spoken about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, poured out, poured out from on high, do you have felt also the need for it, the necessity of it, that you also, with a cry in the soul, perhaps said in your pew, Lord, wilt thou not pass us by? Wilt thou not do it at other places only, but also among us? And wilt thou not do it in other places in the congregation, but also in my family? And wilt thou also not pass me by? Wilt thou work down by that Spirit? May that Spirit also be poured out upon me, because if I have to die as I am born, what must become of me? Then I'm ever outside of thee, and I cannot have that communion, and that will then be too late forever. Is there a need for the outpouring of that Spirit? We can live so easily on, as if there is no eternity approaching. Congregation, that the rest may be taken away, now we may truly begin to seek for that one thing needful, and that the Lord may come, to pour out that Spirit also among us. How extensive is now that outpouring of the Holy Spirit? When we read in our text, we see that the wilderness shall be fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for the forest. So what was a wilderness will become fruitful. So where no fruit was seen before, where it was so dry, impossible to grow anything, there fruits will be seen. That is what the text says. So it will be very extensive. It will be among low and high, small and great, rich and poor. The Lord will work that grace in many hearts. It is that wonder of free and sovereign grace when the Lord pours out that Spirit, and then a need comes in your heart. Say, Lord, I need that grace also for me. I need that grace for my children. Do you have that need? Is that need? Or must we not say, so with the bride in the Old Testament, who said, Awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out, and let my beloved come into his garden and eat of his pleasant fruits. There are also general workings of the Spirit, also true. And so often the general workings of the Spirit also seen as that true grace, what is poured out by the Spirit. So what is now so necessary, so that our eyes may be opened for it, but it's also so necessary to set a separation in the preaching. Also, what is now that true work of the Spirit, and what is now not the true work of the Spirit, what is now the general work of the Spirit, because it can also come so close that we perhaps do not hardly see the difference between the true and the general work of the Spirit. First of all, the conviction of the truth. There can be a general conviction of the truth. Then we say, this is the truth, and I believe that. Something needs to take place in our life, and then we can even fight for the truth. We say, this is it. But is that the true work of the Spirit? Can come close. Can even come a confession of sin. We say, but a confession of sin, is that not a true work of the Spirit? Is it not the Spirit who makes us to confess sin? Yes, that is true. But also in the general working of the Spirit, then we see an Ahab confessing his sin. And then we see him going slowly. Oh, he has confessed his sin. We see a Pharaoh confessing his sin. I have sinned, he says. We see a Saul also confessing his sin. Therefore, we must say, if we confess our sin, can also be that general working of the Spirit. Can say, perhaps there's even a regret of sin. And you say, I should have never done that, what I have done in my life. Do you say, what a fool I am that I have done so. Perhaps there are also among us who say that. But that regret because of sin, is that a true work of the Spirit? Or is that a general work of the Spirit, a conviction of the conscience, nothing more? That we are being pricked in the heart, or, I said, pricked in our conscience. That can also be. And when we are pricked in our conscience, then they are still too high. It needs to come in our heart, dear congregation. The general working of the Spirit can also make us giving a zeal and love for the truth. Then we begin to speak even about Christ and his work. And still, general working of the Spirit. You say, but that all what you have now mentioned, is that not good then? Must we not confess our sin? Must we not have regret about our sin? Must we not fight for the truth? Yes. No, I will not despise it. It is a blessing when that general working of the Spirit is still to be found. But you must say, we must go deeper, congregation. We must be pricked in the heart. And that being pricked in the heart, that is now that true saving work of the Spirit. Or that Spirit also that may work so mightily in the hearts of young and old, the children, our older ones, and that we begin to cry to the Lord. Because that true being, having hateful for sin, that fleeing from sin, that gives an abhorring from sin, or that gives also that our love for the truth, our congregation, that it also may be found among you. What are then those graces what are flow forth from the work of the Spirit? Because we can speak for a long time about what it is not, and that is necessary. We need also to do that. But I also need to lay in your midst what is now the work of the Spirit, what is now the working of him when he begins to work in the hearts, or in the hour of regeneration, he begins to work in the heart that saving conviction. And when he convicts of sin, how does that go? In a general conviction, it can go very deep. It can bring us, as it were, to the edge of despair. That you say, oh, that sin, that the foolishness of me. And still, it is that general conviction. But now that true conviction, what is now the difference? In true conviction, when the Lord works that conviction in the heart, love comes along with it. And in a general conviction, we do not find that love. You say, what do you mean with that? What is now the difference then? Oh, in a general conviction, if the Lord takes away also our anxiety, then we can live on again. There comes no love to the Lord in the long. And when the Lord gives that true saving conviction, then comes that, Lord, I have sinned against thee. Because then the Lord pours out that love in the heart. And they say, Lord, now I cannot live outside of thee any longer. Lord, thou knowest my foolishness. Thou knowest what I have done. But Lord, will thou remember me in grace? The general conviction often drives us away from the Lord. We see it in Cain, and we see him going away from the Lord. Esau saw it with tears, but came never at the feet of the Lord. But that true conviction, that sinner, will come at his feet and begins to confess, or begins to pour out that heart before him and begins to cry to him, Lord, remember me in grace. Oh, then I may also in an afternoon like this, I may come very low. Where is then, where the Lord that begins that work, in that saving conviction that makes the man to bow before him and gives love towards him. And if the Lord then would cast me away, or the Lord is righteous, still I cannot let him go. As it were, you wrestle with him. Secondly, when the Lord begins that work of grace in the heart, he also begins to illuminate the heart. He gives light from above, begins to teach through his word, or that you begin to see what you have never seen before. Then that word begins to read you instead of the word. So that is that word of God what becomes a lamp for your feet and a light upon your pathway, or that is that working of that spirit. In the third place, can also speak about those uncovering and converting grace. Or then the Lord begins to show also the emptiness of what there is in the world and in a life in this world. Youth, young people, you say, oh, I try to enjoy the things of this time and sense. Oh, there is so much to enjoy in this world. But when the Lord, by his Spirit, works in the heart, then you see how empty it is. Perhaps sin gives a moment of joy in the heart, can be a sweet taste under the tongue, a morsel under the tongue that becomes so bitter. Or what does sin do, congregation? It's always bitter in the end. But now when the Lord begins that work of grace in the heart, comes a love for his service, comes a love for his day, comes a love for his people, comes a love also for for that service of the Lord, and you say, Lord, but I may always be busy in that work of the Spirit. He also begins to empty man from all what is of himself, because man begins to try to build up himself, to make himself also, as it were, ready for the Lord, that the Lord can also look upon me, as it were, he begins to wash himself. And when by the illumination of the Spirit, begins to see who and what you are, then you begin to empty you for yourself. But in that same time, also the Lord begins to direct your eyes to another, not from you, but it lies in him, in Christ alone. Because of the time, I cannot go further into that. But congregation, it is that Spirit. Spirit point not to himself, but a Spirit also will always lead to that blessed second person. And he will open the eyes for the mediator between God and men. And then he will give them those graces in the heart. And what are those graces then? What are poured out in the heart? And I can only name them. Can we think of faith, hope, and love? There comes that fear in the heart. There comes that repentance in the heart. Humility comes in the heart. But he gives also joy and peace and meekness. These are all fruits of the Spirit. Congregation, do we know something of that fruit of the Spirit? Or then that was a wilderness, that which was a wilderness will become a fruitful field. Or when that rain comes from above, or then I will be seeing those fruits. We can speak about grace. We can speak about humility. But if it is not seen in the fruits of our life, then it has no worth at all. But then also the fruits of that true conversion may be seen in our life. We have to close a spoken of that work of the Spirit. It is that Spirit, often it is said, it is the first one who begins that work and the last one who is known in the life of that people. But it is that Spirit what leads to the knowledge of Christ. It is that Spirit also leads further, from the manger to the cross, from the cross also to Golgotha, to Mount Olive, wherein Christ now is ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of the Father. It is that Spirit what also will seal that people and will also give that assurance in the hearts of that people. I belong to Him, that they may say with the bride of the Old Testament, I am His and He is mine. And it gives now a desire in the heart of that people. And then they say, set me then as a seal upon thine arm, as a seal upon thine heart. And that is that longing, Lord, not only for others, also for me. Lord, work so in the hearts of many, also in the midst of the congregation. We have to close, young and old. How is it now with you? And now we must go home. Now we must meditate upon the words what we have heard. Do we now know of that work of the Spirit in our hearts? How is it now between God and your soul? Is still the day of grace? Is still the day in which we can be converted? Oh, may then the Lord open our eyes and give them also no rest until we may know upon a good ground that we are one of His. Amen. Lord, we have come at the close of this afternoon service, and for this congregation also the end of the worship services in this day. And that we may ask thee, Lord, if thou wilt bless thy word with eternal blessings, if thou wilt bring it into the hearts of this one or that one, wilt thou convert what is unconverted and strengthen what thou hast wrought. And when standing at the beginning of another week, Lord, wilt thou then help in the labors which is laid upon the shoulders of each one of us. Remember the consistory in the manifold labors. Help them. Help thy servant also in the work he must do. Strengthen and uphold together with his wife and children. Remember also fathers and mothers, the task what is laid upon their shoulders. Remember our children being in school or wherever they may receive the instruction. Remember also those who must instruct. Lord, wilt thou bless it with thy blessings and give them that we so may travel from Sabbath to Sabbath, longing for the next one. Help then, O Lord, and forgive all what was sinful and amiss. Keep us safe on the unsafe roads when we go from here. And wilt thou then be a God ever near unto us. We ask it for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We'll close this service with the singing of Psalter 228, the stanzas 1 and 3. Is there all collection in the meantime? Maybe we sing all three then. Psalter 228, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear, and what follows. 228, 1, 2, and 3. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.